Welcome to This Week in VO with J. Michael Collins. Each week, JMC will host one of the voiceover industry's most interesting personalities for a casual freestyle chat that encompasses more than just business, digging deep into the guest's backstory and pulling back the curtain on how they became the person they are today. And now for this week's guest, Erica J.
Hey, everybody, it's J. Michael. I am back with another episode of This Week in VO, and I'm thrilled to have with me today one of the hottest and fastest rising talent in the industry, somebody who has really taken the voiceover business by storm over the past few years and is really a daily booker, somebody who you're hearing on a regular basis on TV and through other media out there. She is a 2021 Voice Arts Awards nominee for Outstanding Political Announcement and Outstanding Consumer Sales Video, and she should have been a nominee for Outstanding Commercial Demo too, and I'm fucking mad that she isn't. I told you I might drop an F-bomb right off the bat.
You did.
Might have been the best one we did all year, but anyway, no, I digress. In addition to all of those wonderful things, she has two kids. She's super mom. She also still maintains a full-time job. I think she may be a saint and a superhero. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Erica J.
Oh, man. Thank you. J. Michael does his homework.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. Kayla does his homework. So.
Kayla does JMC's homework. Let the record reflect.
Let the record reflect.
Thank you so much for such a beautiful opening and for having me. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. We've gotten to hang out a lot lately in Dallas and in Dublin and gotten to know each other real well. You're not having too much withdrawal yet, are you?
Oh man. No, not yet. Well, a little. Yeah. A little. Yeah.
Just a bit. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a really great time. That was wonderful.
I miss the scones. That's what I miss.
I'd be remiss. I think probably the breakfast martinis that Hugh.
Oh yeah. Everybody gets into the breakfast martinis. That's become since the very first. We're talking about if you guys don't know, we're talking about the Euro retreat, and that since the very first one, Hugh Edwards with his breakfast martinis, which he actually drinks for breakfast. I'm quite sure.
But shout out to Hugh, because I am not a gin. When he said there was gin in it, I'm a bourbon whiskey dark girl. So he's like gin, and I'm like no. I'm like, I'll try it. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is good.
be careful of going down that road, because that man can drink, you know, he can drink an entire barful of Irish under the table. There's nothing. He broke Armin Hirschstetter in Spain many years ago. Broke him. I've never seen that man in that condition before. It was just.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got out of practice years ago. So.
Well, tell us about yourself. I know you have a very interesting background. Where are you from? How'd you get into this business? Tell us the life story of Erica J in a nutshell.
Okay. So I have been like singer, like all my life, like everybody says, you know, from church, and like my aunt was a band singer, gig singer and all that. So, I had lost my way a little bit with music for a while when I had kids and, you know, did all the corporate stuff. But maybe about 2011, 2010 or so, I started getting back into music and songwriting, writing my own stuff, putting out my own music, and then started working with a corporate band, doing like corporate weddings and corporate parties and weddings and things like that, high-end weddings. And did that for about 4 years as a lead singer in that band. So that was great. It supplemented my music career so that I was sort of the Clark Kent thing there, working corporate job. And that kind of, you know, covered my family. But I wanted to not pull from my family's support to support my music. So the band thing, doing that on the weekends was a lot. My kids were young at the time, so I was away like every weekend. And I had a friend that mentioned that he had just done voiceover. I was living in Richmond, Virginia at the time. I lived there for about 13 years, but I'm originally from DC. So when you mentioned that, I'm like, you know, what's voiceover? And I had just started working on this musical, and I had a theater coach for that, and that ended up getting canned. But she told me about a studio I could go to do a demo. So don't follow what I did, but it worked out for me. I did a demo first. Like I walked into the studio and they were like, you know, here's your copy. And I'm like, well, we're making copies of what is copy?
Is your CD?
Right. I had no clue what it meant. Bless their hearts. They walked me through and we got the demo done. I got on the P2Ps, started auditioning my ass off, not knowing what I was doing. And really, I was kind of like that for about 3.5 years. Didn't know the voiceover community, none of you beautiful people that I know now. And it was
wait a minute. You've met me, right?
You're beautiful on the inside.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah, so what really opened the door was the pandemic, to be honest. And I know, as much as I have that kind of guilt for saying that, I know there are a lot of people in that position.
The dirty little secret of the voiceover industry is how many people are quietly going, "Yay, COVID," right?
It's horrible. When's the next world plague? No. I know it's horrible, but what it did was that, because I've maintained this corporate job, I'm a product leader in the automotive tech space, and I was able to now full-time work from home. So I really started like diving in, like, all right, what can I really learn about VO to move me forward? And I started just connecting with everybody and listening to podcasts. And, you know, that's when I started kind of diving headfirst, and it all worked out, I guess.
Yeah. It's all of a sudden it's like you're everywhere, but you, where are you from originally?
DC. Yep.
You're from DC. A lifer.
Well, sort of. So like I was born in DC, and as a lot of people in DC are, we go back and forth between either like Southern Maryland or Northern Virginia. So yeah. So I went back and forth a lot, went to school in both areas. But then when I graduated, I went to Old Dominion. That's in Norfolk, like the Virginia Beach sort of area of Virginia, and then landed in Richmond for about 13 years before moving here to Atlanta.
What do you know about Chesterfield? I'm actually got a property I'm looking at down there now. It's a nice place.
That's a suburb of Richmond, and that's where I lived. Yeah, that's where me and my kids were for, God, I don't know, like 10 of those years. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's a good area. Good little suburb. And yeah, nice. I'm going to be there too.
I'm going to be over there house hunting after Thanksgiving. So we're going to have to put a dinner together of DC people. That'll be fun. Anyway. So are you still doing music?
I haven't as much. For one, you know, when I kind of moved to Atlanta, a lot of things just got thrown around, and then pandemic, it was like, you know, live performances were just, so not as much now. I definitely use a lot of my music bass in my VO work, and I've had a couple people ask me, but that industry is great. I love music itself, but the business part of it can be really draining. So I just really find that I get to use all my different skill sets in voiceover, and I kind of enjoy that more now from the business perspective.
What was your first VO job?
Ooh, that's a really good question. It was on a site that we shall not
the site that shall not be named.
And I think I remember it was something in the lines of like a athletic brand, and they were sort of looking for like that, you know, that grit athletic woman sound. So kind of like a Nike or Adidas type vibe, but it was some other company, some industrial, I'm pretty sure.
When did you know that this was not just a hobby?
For me, I think for one, it was never a hobby for me, because I was always like, where's the money?
A woman after my own heart.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, I know that I have creative talents and I want to be paid for them. But when it became more like, I would say when I went from a novice to like intermediate and then pro, was probably when I got signed to ACM.
Right.
That was like, wow, I have people that really believe in my talent and are willing to put themselves out there for us all to get paid together. So,
right. Yeah. And you're with ACM, you're with Coast to Coast. How has having higher end representation changed the trajectory of your career?
Oh man. Beyond just in reality, it's validation. Like somebody else believes in me. Like as creatives, we're like, oh, you believe in me? Like, oh, you know, but it's also, you know, I'm getting different types of opportunities now, and it forces me to step my game up. Not rest on my laurels, you know, and sort of continually look to ways to get better and how to up my game. And that I have, you know, I feel I'm working for them too. You know, like we're a team, we're working together. So it's not just about how well I do this month. It's like, you know, I've got other people that are looking to me that I'm accountable to. So that's been great to just sort of be pushed to be better.
What's it been like being, you know, having another job, being a full-time working voice actor at the same time, and being a mom and putting it all together? I mean, how have you been able to manage that dance?
Yeah, that has definitely been a dance. And sometimes I stumble and have two left feet. But it's I can't stress enough how much my my partner Delano, he is just infinitely supportive. My kids understand. Before I got this lovely booth I was in, I was using my red light, you know, because my closet did not sound block out sound, and everybody was just super understanding and supportive, and I would not be able to do this without them. It's a lot of juggling, it's a lot of time management, it's a lot of energy management. But I like it because actually a lot of the voiceover work that I book is in the tech space. So I'm able to roll off some of these terms, you know, really easily because I talk about them every day. I have two teams of software developers that teach me new stuff every day. So it's been a nice marriage. But it's a lot. I don't want people to feel like they can't do VO at a pro level if they still have a full-time job. It's sort of taboo. Right. In any entrepreneurial space or any, you know, creative. But you can do it and it's possible and there's nothing wrong with it.
Have your kids been back going to school, going physically to school?
Yeah, they are. I think they just dropped the mask mandate, mm-hmm. but it seems like we're getting emails on the weekly basis that they were exposed to somebody that tested positive. So, you know, you could do a quarantine or a mask. It's a lot. I can't imagine being a kid during these times.
Yeah, it is. It's something. It's kind of hard to think about what that would be like in that position, isn't it? And how old are they?
They are 17 and 15.
Oh wow! So you're almost rid of them.
I'm almost free. And I can't believe it. I'm just like, I feel way too young to have like grown kids. I'm like,
yeah, because you're what? Like, you're like 31. So, I mean, that's wait a minute. Hold on. Let me, is that right? Am I accurate? Am I in the neighborhood?
No, but I will take it all day long. I'll be 40 next month.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so. I can tell you, as someone who crossed that threshold not all that long ago, that it's absolute shit. So. it's all downhill from here.
Lie to me, JMC. Lie to me.
Because I'm 40 going on 70, so it's
my knees and my ankles would agree with you. My spirit doesn't.
My spies tell me that you semi recently had surgery to correct the deviated septum. That's got to be a hell of a thing for a voice actor.
You know, I was really afraid I was having and I still kind of get them, but it's not as bad like sinus issues, but I get like these horrible like nose clicks and they're the worst to have to edit out. And I just always sounded congested. And I went and had an ENT go look at it and he told me, yeah, you have a deviated septum. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, what do you mean? Like, I don't do drugs. You know that, right? Like, I don't put things up my nose. Like, and he like laughed because I'm thinking like, that's how you get it, right? Like, but, you know, it was
as long as you share, right? So
right. Just don't be stingy with the drugs, guys. Like, just, you know. But it was scary because I was booking with that voice. So it was kind of this dilemma of, you know, if I take this thing away from me that is making me different, is it really going to be an improvement, or is it going to now book less? But ultimately it felt like the right thing to do for my health. I understand like it helps with your breathing so that mm-hmm. you sleep better. And my God, yeah. When I breathed right after he took the packing out of my nose, it was a rough recovery week, but whew, that was bad.
did it affect your sound at all?
A little, like I said, I still have, you know, I'm in Atlanta, so like the sinus stuff is terrible here, but I definitely felt like I could breathe better. And if anything, just the breath support while I'm doing mm-hmm. VO, like that helped, and it didn't make my bookings go down. So kind of glad that I got over that fear, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Now, when we were in Dublin, you made one of the most, I think, moving commentaries and posts on, you know, you have just being there, being present in that space and talking about how, you know, you used to perform in spaces like that and they're, you know, often very white spaces. And now you're finding yourself in a different place and elevating to a new realms in your career. What was that all about? What was that experience like? And, you know, what's it like to realize that you're on a path to success? And on top of that, that you are kind of representing the cutting edge of diverse talent and BIPOC talent who are starting to take their rightful place in the industry now.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big statement. And thank you. First off, Oh man. It was very humbling. Because as I said in that post, when I was in the corporate band, like we would go to just beautiful, gorgeous places, country clubs and the like, and you know, wineries. And a lot of the wealth in America is, you know, historically held by people that are not of color. Mm-hmm. So going to those events and being the talent, being the entertainment, some places and people treated us great and others truly treated us like the help. And there was one place in particular that we went to a number of times, like 3 or 4 times. And one time we did it on New Year's Eve, which is my birthday.
Wow.
And on that day, I remember, you know, being in tears because it was my birthday and we were literally sent to the basement to go eat. And the food that they provided us was slop at best.
Yeah.
You know, it was really tough kind of working in some of those places. There were some very borderline racial comments and some not so borderline that we overheard. Mm. So to now sort of have that full circle moment where I was the guest was very, very humbling. And, you know, the people at the K Club were just so kind and amazing. And, you know, shout out to Tony. it was just very sort of overwhelming in that moment. But yeah, it was, you know, you deserve this. It was, but that imposter syndrome kicked in hard.
Right. And I mean, do you feel like the industry is, you know, because when I started doing this, which was in, you know, the mid 1990s, it was very hard to find minority talent. There were some, but, you know, it was probably a 95% white space. That's changing. It's changing fairly quickly. Is it changing fast enough?
I don't know if there needs to be a certain type of speed. I think the awareness is there now, which is the first step. And I think that there's less of the, at least from what I'm seeing, less of the acting is acting. Like there's mm-hmm. more of an understanding that worldview counts, that representation matters. You know, the other thing about voiceover is that it's a high investment industry to get into. And those of us that started in music and were self-recording like myself have a little bit of an advantage if we already, you know, had some aptitude of how to record yourself and how to edit. But that in itself, you know, it's a domino effect that it's harder for talent of color to get in if the wealth gap is, you know, preventing them from having the capital to start.
Right.
And that's not to say that, you know, if you're not BIPOC that you automatically have money, not what I'm saying at all, but, you know, I think it's going to be a journey. There's still a lot of ingrained racism in not just this country, but, you know, things like technology. There was a scenario where, long story short, we had something going on and the word white label was used. And that's a term in technology. There were actually a number of blog posts on this about, you know, how that's just sort of par for the course. You know, white label means that it's okay. And blacklist means it's not.
Right.
And that sort of, you know, ingrained psychology that we don't even realize until we pick it apart, it takes a long time for people to you know, deprogram that. So I don't think voiceover is or marketing is any different.
Right. It's good to see the progress that's being made. And
absolutely.
Like I said, you know, just because, you know, it's a sound that is what America looks like today.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate. So it's a good thing. Tell us so far, what's the coolest thing you've done? The coolest project you've worked on?
Oh, gosh, you're asking the hard stuff. There's so many good ones. I guess the first one that comes to mind for me is Google Fiber, just because it was so cool. And it was one that...
Does that make you more regular?
make me more regular?
Well, Fiber, I don't know. I got dad jokes for weeks. Come on
my
now.
My bad. It has been a long day. That is my brain went way over my head. actually, coffee keeps me regular.
there you go.
but what was so cool about Google Fiber was that it walked in from my website. So it was like, you know, very validating that my SEO was working. Right. That is like, yay, I know what I'm doing. So that was really cool just to kind of be able to voice for a brand like Google. I think I would have to go with actually the spot that was nominated for a Sovas, which I'm so excited about. Both of them. So like the Black Lives Matter one for Georgia, which was actually part of the campaign for the runoff, you know, mm-hmm. because those two seats
for the Senate election. Yeah,
that was major. So like I remember when I got that audition through ACM. Thank you. Shout out to Andrew. And I did it. But then right before the session, I got the video. And like, I had to go downstairs to my boyfriend and like kind of reset. Like, I was like, help me like get my shit together, because it was so emotional, because the video features a black man running through Atlanta, and it showed the mural of oh my goodness, what
George Floyd?
No, not actually. So it was Ahmaud Arbery.
The guy they're on trial for that right now.
Yeah, and he got shot in Georgia. So it was they made the man kind of look like Ahmaud, and that was what was on his hoodie was "I Run with Maud." But he ran past oh my god, why, how, please forgive me for his name, the civil rights, he just died like a year ago.
Elijah Cummings.
Kick myself for forgetting his name. John Lewis.
That's one. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they showed his mural in the video, and I mean, it was such an impactful 30 seconds visual. Right. That it really made me emotional. So that was awesome. And then being able to voice for Peterbilt in the trucking space, to pick a black woman to voice their new medium.
That's pretty cool.
Lineup. I was like, wow.
Right.
I had an uncle that was a trucker that died in an accident a few years ago. So it was just like, I get to voice Peterbilt? Like, what? So that was really cool.
Very neat. And by the way, you gave me a little nugget to roll with here, which is you talked about the job coming in through SEO, through your website. Why do you think that's important? And what are you doing to make sure that your SEO is on point?
You know, I feel like, you know, people talk about P2Ps, because I can't talk today. It's not like I talk for money. or, you know, having an agent, the debate about, you know, direct marketing. And at the end of the day, all of those are lead sources, and you need to diversify your portfolio as a business owner. So for me, SEO is one way to have a low outlay of labor, but still be able to generate leads and work. And it's leveraging technology so that you can literally go be finding work while you sleep. and that's what kind of working in the tech space has afforded me a little bit of aptitude there. Because I built my own website. I originally did it, you know, all for music, and I kind of did some things for PO. And now I'm at the point where I want more pros on it, but I was able to do my own SEO. I'm doing things like grabbing the celebrity names that I'm seeing in specs that I feel like, you know, go with my voice and my sort of approach that I bring. And just different keywords that describe my tone and my energy that I bring. So that seems to be working. I've gotten, you know, some good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
It's quite a trend, isn't it? The people just casting directly.
You know, and there's all this talk, you know, obviously, as some of us age, including me, I'm about to be 40.
What?
So
I can't. Have you seen my teeth?
These little whippersnappers.
Those little bastards always on my lawn.
But I mean, yeah. So what that means is that, you know, we're getting a whole new generation of people that are controlling the creative. So they're not always going to, you know, the top tier agents. We're in the age of Google. You know, my kids, if they want to learn something, they're going on YouTube. Like, I'm looking for something, I'm Googling it. So why wouldn't you want to come up in that search and rank as best as possible so that you're found?
Smart.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's becoming the name of the game. And this generation also is kind of anathema to the idea of the middleman at all. Yeah. They don't want anybody with their hands in the kitty. Right.
Yeah, for sure. They just want to get what they need and get out. I mean, and I get it. The world moves so fast now. You have to.
So now I'm given to understand that, that like your kids, you are also a gamer.
used to be.
Yeah.
I can't claim it now. So I keep saying, like, maybe I'll get in. So my boyfriend is a pro gamer. So he streams and has his whole brand around gaming and all that.
Wow.
My kids do as well. Yeah. Yeah. He's Faith is Dope was on there. So because he came from music, too. That's actually where we met, was in the band. So we're both creators and kind of doing all that. But yeah, I have a house full of gamers, and I'm called what I'd call gaming educated, or like. Like, I know all about Apex and everything else going on, but I don't actively play anymore. I used to when I was a kid. Like, I was the girl that was always with a controller. But
very cool.
And I grew up.
I've got a shiny new PlayStation 5 here, and the only thing that I play is John Madden Football, and I've played it since the very first one came out. But I still managed to update it and make sure I stay on the current system. So
there you go.
A little childhood thing in there, right?
Yeah. We've got PlayStation 5s, and oh my god, trying to get the Xbox and the PlayStation 5, it was crazy trying to get it on the sites, but we managed to.
You made it happen.
So,
do you work in that genre at all? Do you play do any video game stuff or any animation?
Yeah, I did. So there's a animation pilot that I was able to get on. It's called Battle of the Bands. And I'm not sure exactly what the release timeline is going to look for that, because the showrunner, she's amazing. Allison Hart, Lockhart, she's working on stuff for Netflix right now, but she's still talking about the show. So I just don't know when it's coming out, but it will be. And I play her name is so I don't have to forget. And she's kind of like the band manager on one side. So I get to kind of be the badass manager, you know?
Very cool.
And then I'm in Fallout 76, one of the releases that came out for that recently, called Steel Rain. Nice. And then there's another game that I can't talk about yet. So
aren't those fun when we can't talk those about them?
Fun. But stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But wait, there's more. So, I mean, you're in an interesting spot where you are, you know, pedal to the metal. Your career is really accelerating. You're hitting, you know, that spot where it's starting to feel like, you know, hey, I'm doing pretty well. But like you said, you're not even 40 yet. There's road to tread here, right? So what are your dreams beyond where you are right now? What are goals for the future? What do you want? Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years?
You know, I'm really turning more focused to, I've been working with Tom Pinto lately, really loving like in-show narration.
Very nice. And Tom's great.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing to work with, as are you. Really great coaches. Yes. Oh. But I'm really liking that genre. And then also like my goal is to get a promo landed. What is sort of the goal, like my wheelhouse, because I not only, you know, do I have the BIPOC thing going for me, but I also have this sort of not really gender neutral or androgynous, but you know, I lean with this masculine energy that I've talked about.
Yeah, you have cojones.
Yeah, I got cojones. Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with you in a dark alley.
I've got a funny story if you want one later. But
we'll hold you to that.
I know, right? But you know, so I want to take the boys' jobs, no offense, but you know, like I want to, as SBO and media in general has been trending to be more inclusive in the racial realm, and also getting, you know, more women. It's becoming, I think, more 50-50, but I want to get more in those spaces that have traditionally been masculine and be able to work in there too. So yeah.
They reminded me of what Portia Scott was saying when we were all sitting around the dinner table there towards one of the later evenings, and after a little bit of wine, and she looked over at Kayla and said, you know, Kayla just looks like that. I think Kayla would cut a motherfucker. and then she looked me dead in the eye and she goes, but Anna, I know Anna would cut a motherfucker.
Oh, no question.
But I think there's a little bit of that with you too. And so I'm just going to be careful and, you know, and be nice and mind my P's and Q's. Tell
Lady
us about
Collins is not to be messed with. And I found out that she's a Capricorn like me. Her birthday is Christmas Eve, right?
Christmas Eve. That's it.
Yep. Mine's New Year's Eve. So yeah, we women are not to be
danger.
Messed with.
You going to tell us the dark alley story?
I mean, it's not even a dark alley. Okay, so it was funny because I was talking to my boyfriend before I got on here. And I was like, you know, like, I've been able to really, like, have this liberating thing, especially as I'm getting older. And I was like, you know, there are so many things that guys can do that girls, like, can't. It's not socially acceptable. I was like peeing in the shower, you know? Like,
you're not supposed to know about that.
And one day, I have boys. Come on, Al. Like, I know. Like, the secret's out. So I was like, you know what? Like, you pee in the shower, don't you? And he's like, yeah, of course I do. Like, why wouldn't I? And I was like, you know what? One day I'm going to pee in the shower. And I was like, I'm about to clean the shower anyway. And I don't want to get out. I'll be cold. Just go for it. And it was so liberating. Ladies, try to pee in the shower. I'm telling you, you should do it. There should be nothing.
I'd like to point out that this is the second time this podcast has gone down the road of golden showers. The first time was with Liz Atherton, and it was
that makes sense.
And it involved the mating rituals among lobsters, but I that's a whole different story.
Liz is my spirit animal, so that makes so much sense. But I'm telling you, it's so liberating to not have to, you know, hold it or get out. Like, why? Why can't we do it too?
There are no rules anymore. It's, yeah. That's right. Cats and dogs sleeping together. It's just, you know, it's what's that line from Ghostbusters? It's just, yeah, it's chaos.
There's your tidbit.
That's a hell of a tidbit. Empowerment, right? That's a hell of a tidbit. Well, you know what? I think ending on urination is usually the note to go for. That was kind of the wrap up signal with Liz, and I'm going to take that as a sign from the heavens it's time to return you to the wild and put a pin in this. But Erica,
the wild. Good way to put it.
The wild.
I see what you did there.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom with all of us. You see what I did there with the whiz? But anyway,
I did. You're full of puns. The dad jokes, man.
It's coming, man. I tell you, it's like Bob Saget, just 30 years too late. But.
Oh, man.
We did not smoke anything before this, but
I wasn't even drinking first. Like
me neither. I had a lot of coffee, but anyway, hey, okay. I'm gonna ask you for the one thing I ask a lot of guests for a word of wisdom for the talent out there trying to become the next Erica J.
Oh, first of all, don't become Erica J. Erica J is all over the place.
especially in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. no. Oh my goodness, this went downhill fast.
You made me snort.
But that's my fault. Really, you know, when excuse me, I talked about this recently when I was on the VO School podcast with Jamie Muffet, is that voiceover is such a self-discovery industry. And the more that you're trying to fit a sound of what you think they're looking for, the less you book. Right. And the more that you sort of are aware and accepting of who you are, what your story is, and who that has turned you into, who you become, who you want to be, and just bringing that to every piece of copy, to every individual conversation that you're having in the copy, and that authenticity that is so, you know, rampant today is what it's just what they want. They want the real you. Just be you.
Like, great advice. Yeah, Erica J, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, JMC. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. And folks, you know what time it is. Here is Kayla.
You have been listening to This Week in VO with J. Michael Collins. Be sure to share the podcast with your friends and colleagues on social media. If you do, JMC might just send you a lobster. Now, here's nobody trying to sell you anything, because that's just how we roll. Stay tuned for a new podcast most weeks throughout the year.